get my head around the upcoming weekend before it gets too holiday crazy. Maybe Carrie Saldo with Arts District can help us.
Maybe she can. Hey, guys. Hey. Good morning. It's great to be back with the A side of the record. You know, the B side last week.
That's what we heard they called themselves.
And you know what? There have been a lot of B side hits, and I think we had one last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's true. Yep. Hey, Carrie Saldo, what's going on?
In 2016, the Elitch Theater out in Highlands, the historic Elitch Theater, will be celebrating 125 years. And so the efforts to restore that 1890s venue are really ongoing. Mm-hmm. And it's this gorgeous Queen Anne-style building. But you might not know it's there or recognize it because it's kind of squished in between these apartment buildings. But next time you're in that area, you should definitely check it out. And I recently took a tour with David Nels, who's the vice president of Historic Elitch Gardens Theater Foundation. And he pointed out a special feature of the seats as we were kind of walking around through the building.
That's for your wide-brimmed hat.
Oh my gosh.
And then this is for your cane.
A space for my cane?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you're walking through the space and you fold down the seats, and as they pop back up, I noticed that there were these two metal rudders on either side of the seats. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you used to slip your hat. And then there's a little hole, like a divot, in the side of the seat, and that's where you stuck your cane. It's just the intricacies in this building from, you know, built in the 1890s are pretty special.
I like that.
Isn't that cool?
I you know, because if you go out with a hat these days, there's nowhere to put it. It's awkward.
Hey, you're talking to the hat man.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Carlos, the Elitch Theater, as they continue to restore it, that's the place for you.
I'm going to go just to be able to put my hat down.
Yeah. And it'll be a safe spot. And, you know, and thinking about who would have filled those seats, people gathered there to see films and live theatrical productions. And think back to the 1890s, early 1900s. That would have been a really rare thing. And so the Historic Elitch Theater was a draw for all of these greats. And I talked with a former employee, Joe Burns, who is a Denver native, and he worked there in the summers through the 1940s for about 8 or 9 years from the time he was 11 till he was about 18. He's 81 now, and he toured with us. And I asked him about who was his favorite great who used to perform there in either theatrical performances, and he said Tony and Oscar winner Patricia Neal was a favorite of his.
After the production, we'd be picking up popcorn boxes and things like that, and she would come down there and sit down there with her legs hanging over the side. She'd say, "Come here, you sweet dolls." She said, "I want to know you're all right."
So Mr. Burns had these great interactions with numerous people and other people who came to the stage there, Grace Kelly, Robert Fairbanks Sr., even Robert Redford got his start there at Elitch's. And you're nodding, yeah.
Yeah, when they used to leave Hollywood for the summer and they wanted to get on stage, Elitch Theater in Denver was a hot spot for names like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, so currently the theater, it's still in a state of disrepair, but they're sound enough that they can hold a series of kind of one-time events. So they've been doing an indoor film series where they bring those greats who used to play there theatrically into the film series that they're doing. Mm-hmm. They also have an August New Works Festival. And coming up on December 2nd, they're hosting a fundraiser at the Bonacquisti Wine Company to help continue their efforts, because when I spoke with David Nels, you know, I said, what's the long-term goal? And they're a little shy to talk about the long-term goal because it's really going to depend on money. Of course, they'd love to bring that theater back to the heyday, but they need people's help, so they're continuing to have fundraisers and continuing that effort.
You know, the theater, when you think about it, the history of this theater, how long it was around, it doesn't seem like it's been closed that long. I'm trying to recall, I think about 90, 92, somewhere in there, where they
moved the amusement park downtown.
But they kept that intact.
Yeah. And there's some, and I had to talk to David Nels about that too, and there's some confusion about when the last date was and how it was that they closed, but they did some funky things when they left the place. Yeah. Like they ripped out the plumbing. So currently they don't have bathrooms. So that's one of the challenges that they're working around.
Yeah.
But well, it's a gorgeous space.
It is. The restoration of Elitch Theater, an ongoing story covering the art show. You'll keep covering that. I guess the other big museum story in town is Children's Museum.
Absolutely. I got a sneak peek of their grand opening
earlier
this week. Yeah,
you get
Tuesday.
Your hands dirty?
I did. You know, they played in the clay area. They have an art-making area for kids.
Steve is very, very jealous.
I know.
Right now, you know.
Silly putty.
It is. And I don't have kids, but I went with two friends who have children. And let me tell you, watching these kids have fun in the space was such a joy to see. And they have several new exhibit areas. They have one, and in all of it, I have to say, if I'm thinking two words, it would be hands-on. So, Steve, that would make you really happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's one that looks at energy, where kids get to fly paper airplanes. There's one that looks at water. And let me tell you, your kids could go in there with a bathing suit, because there's plenty of opportunity for them to explore the water system, the way it works. There's a climbing area where kids can don helmets and really get up there. So lots of things that kind of embrace the Colorado spirit happening now at the Children's Museum. Officially opens on Friday to the public, and it's good time because, you know, they opened their expanded outdoor area this summer, and now that it's getting a little chillier, expanded indoor area, just go and tear it up.
All right, Steve, you need to get in on that climbing area, okay? I want you to get in on the climbing area specifically.
All right, we'll take pictures. Hey, thank you for noticing that the Denver museum community lost one of its giants recently. You remember Paul Stewart.
Last week, Paul Stewart passed away. The Black American West Museum, just such important work that Mr. Stewart did. He really committed himself to sharing the contributions of the African Americans who told the story of the West. And as you guys know, he was a huge figure here in Five Points at his barber shop. Big jazz fan.
Mm-hmm. Huge jazz fan. Yeah. And I think the first thing you do when you come to Denver and really want to immerse yourself in the unique culture of African Americans in this community, you start with the African American Black West Museum, because it's very different than, say, Los Angeles or some other place. This is Colorado, it's Denver, and you got that feeling immediately.
And Mr. Stewart noticed that. I mean, he was an African American who looked around as a kid and said, I have never seen another black person dressed up as a cowboy. Well,
right.
He started to really dig into that history as an adult. And in the 70s, he opened the Black American West Museum. And it moved around a little bit, but now, you know, as you know, it's here in Five Points at Dr. Justina Ford, or the former home of Dr. Justina Ford's house. And it's a story rarely told, that one in three cowboys were African Americans.
Yeah.
And the mass media has really painted it as this super white endeavor, when in fact it is not.
Yeah. Well, you know, and before it was cowboys, it was vaqueros. Okay, we have to remember where the cowboy came from.
Exactly. Well, the services for Paul Stewart are today at New Life Community Church on East Islip Avenue at 10:30 this morning.
Yeah, and I thought it would be a nice tribute to Mr. Stewart, who really, like we said, helped raise awareness across the country and the world of the contributions that African Americans made to the West, by hearing some music by the singing cowboy, the black singing cowboy himself, Herb Jeffries, who, you know, he's a singer and an actor, and just Paul Stewart's work in raising the profile of these people in the community, just really important. And I thought it was really interesting because, you know, he had been undergoing treatments for dialysis, and he chose to stop them. But he told the Denver Post last year that the dialysis had kept him from wearing his cowboy boots, but you better bet that he wore his cowboy hat to every single one of those dialysis treatments. So a big thank you to Mr. Stewart for the work he's done in this community, and our hearts go out to his family. He was 89.
Carrie Saldo has her boots on this morning. Thanks, Carrie.
Good to be here, guys.
I'm a happy cowboy. So when the day's ending, with the setting sun, a happy cowboy's world is fun.